It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 296, entitled The Laurels Will Cut Your Derriere. It was recorded on Monday the 6th of May, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by three fabulous guests. Today I'm joined by Kyle Van Dusen, by Andrew Palmer, and by Rachel Winchester. We're here to talk about WordPress, so that's what we do. We start off talking about how much quicker WordPress has got over the years and what it is that we do individually to speed up our websites. We get into a fairly long conversation about a proposal to make the inserter in Gutenberg open by default. Who knew that we would get so into that? Digital sustainability is a thing. Making our websites greener is very important. How do we do that? And there's a podcast episode link as well. The WordPress Media Core is a thing. Has it upset the community? Has it got the right intentions? Are the right people going to be involved? We have a difference of opinion on the panel. There's some WordPress events coming around the corner, and there's also some online events that we mention as well. Jetpack Stats used to be free. It's not anymore. And building sites with just HTML, CSS, and a little bit of JavaScript. Is that a good idea? It's all coming up next, This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. This Week in WordPress, episode number 296. Getting close to 300. That's pretty good. See your maths there? See quick maths? Woohoo! We're joined. We've got four, but only three of us are on the screen at the moment, but we'll get the fourth guest on. They have just popped into the call. Perfect. But we'll get you, and you know who you are. We'll get you on the screen in just a moment. But first of all, I'm going to introduce who we've got on the screen. First of all, joining us from, well, just over there, 3 or 4 inches that way, is Andrew Palmer. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm good. Thank you, Nathan. Good morning.
Yeah, good. Yeah, morning.
Afternoon, evening.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're in the same country as me. What the heck? It's 2:05 in the afternoon, but Andrew Palmer is joining us. Andrew, I'm going to read it. Hopefully there's nothing inflammatory in here. Let's see what happens. Andrew is a softly opinionated WordPresser and business advocate. He likes some podcasts. He owns and runs somebodyshero.co.uk and hosts and maintains over 500 customer websites. He is an end user customer advocate and wants devs of WordPress core to be end user aware first. I read that really slowly. I apologize. I was just careful of more tripwires. It gets those something else. He wrote something highly inflammatory in there, which I'm not going to read. He didn't, by the way. I'm also joined. I don't know if Kyle's been on the show. Have you been on the show before, Kyle? Vin Diesel, Vin Dusen, Van Dusen?
I have, but it's been probably in the 100s. It was a long time ago.
Oh. Kyle has a meeting every single week at this exact time, but he got in touch with me last week to say, my meeting's not on. Can I come on the show? And I was more than happy to have him on. Let me read the bio. After spending 15 years as a graphic designer and earning a business degree, he launched his agency, Ogal Web Design, O-G-A-L. Go Google it. That was in the year 2017. A year later, after finding the amazing community around WordPress, he co-founded The Admin Bar. Go Google that. Which has grown to become the number one community for WordPress professionals. He's a husband, proud father of three, and a fairly new resident of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Wait, what? Commonwealth?
Yes.
Why is it called that?
Over here on the East Coast.
Is it not a state?
It is, but you know, there's ties back to the original colonies here. So It's just fun to say. I feel fancy if I say the Commonwealth.
Okay. Yeah. That does. That sounds really, really fancy. We were going to be joined by Kathy Zant. That was probably gone out on some of the promotional materials that we sent out. Sadly, Kathy can't join us. But hopefully, Kathy, you're going to be feeling better soon. I was just about to put our third guest in, which is Rachel Winchester. And as I leaned over to grab the mouse, she disappeared from the call. And she's back. She's back in the room. Here we go. Let's see if it'll work.
Hello.
Yay. Nice to have you. Sorry about the technical gremlins. Hopefully you're going to be able to, you know, stick around and everything will work as planned. I believe that Rachel, or do you want to be known by Wynn? I can see you've got Wynn on the screen there. Yeah,
we'll go with Wynn. Yeah, most people know me by Wynn.
Okay. So I don't think Wynn, have you been on this show before? I'm not sure if you have.
I have, maybe like 2 years ago.
Okay. Thank you. You're in good company then. You and Kyle down there on the I'm not even going to say it. But let me give you your bio. So Rachel Winchester, or Wynn for short, there we go, is an independent product designer, public speaker, and the founder of The Focus Assistants, a Brooklyn-based startup. Catch her hosting the Philly WordPress meetup virtually every month and the WWW Work with Wynn live stream on LinkedIn every week. Wynn started Visual Webmaster LLC, where she pursues a variety of internet projects as well as hosts art and design workshops, showcases, and related events. She's always looking to collaborate with other technologists, creatives, and entrepreneurs in innovative ways. So there they are. There's our panel. If you've got anything you want to say to our panel, feel free to do that. The best place to go and catch the sort of live feed is this URL. And mostly, Kyle, when we do this show, somebody's head gets obliterated by that, but you're like significantly high up. just get your chin on there. Go share this. It's wpbuilds.com/live. Oh, he's a pro. Look at him pointing to the lower third.
You're lucky because I did it with this hand first.
I couldn't see it. Great. Oh, that's brilliant. So go join us there. wpbuilds.com/live. Please feel free to share it. The more comments we get, the more fun the show tends to be. And we usually get a bunch of weather reports right at the beginning. So shall we begin there? Let's see what we get first off the bat. First of all, we're joined by Elliot. Elliot's just down the road from me. He lives in a place called Bridlington. And Elliot, hi. Nice to have you with us. Appreciate it. I don't know how to pronounce that. T. Drayson or T. D. Rayson, who's just saying, hey. Nice to have you with us. Courtney is joining us. She said, good morning, friends. Just home from Buffalo, WordCamp Buffalo. Oh, nice. Nice, Courtney. Dave Dunn WebDev. Hi, everyone. Nice to have you with us as well. Birgit. Hey from Germany, and here we go. Here begins the weather. Peter Ingersoll, every week, drops in to tell us about the weather in the Commonwealth of Connecticut. I don't know if it's Commonwealth. It probably isn't. Good morning from cloudy Connecticut, where it's 12 degrees centigrade, 54 degrees Fahrenheit, heading up to a nice 22 this afternoon. That is a nice temperature. Funny you should... This is apropos of nothing. I was just in the car with my wife, and we decided that 22 degrees was the perfect temperature. So, Peter Ingersoll, nice. You've got it. Kathy in the chat. Sorry to miss it. Oh, well, I'm glad that you're feeling okay. That's great. And Rosie Robinson saying hi all. It's rainy in the UK. Not where I am. It's nice and sunny where I am. And good morning, says Marcus Burnett as well. Patricia, she's coming in from Geneva, Switzerland, where it's rainy today. And WP site helper. This isn't my Zoom traffic court appointment. Dang it. Oh, I don't know what that means, but maybe one of you does. But nice to have you all with us.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there's our panel. There's how the comments work. Please feel free. If you go to wpbuilds.com/live and you are logged into YouTube, you can use the comment box on the right of the screen. But if you're not wanting to be logged into anything, just click the little live chat in the window and you can comment anonymously. And that'll all work absolutely fine. Right. Okay. Let's share our screen and get on with it. The usual self-promotion, I'm afraid. This is just to say that this is our website. We produce podcast episodes like this we record it on a Monday and it goes out on a Tuesday. And then we do a podcast episode every Thursday, which is just, you know, audio goes straight into your ears. And if you want to be kept up to date with that, put your name into this box and click the subscribe button. No, don't put your name in there. We'll fail. It's an email address. Kyle's like, no.
You did that last week.
Yeah, I did the same thing, didn't I? Put your email address in there and click subscribe, and we'll send you a couple of emails a week, and not much in the way of, you know, spammy stuff. I'd like to point out that we've got two nice sponsors at the moment. Long relationship with GoDaddy Pro, so continued thanks to them. But joining us just recently, actually, and for the foreseeable future, is Bluehost. So real big thank you to those two companies. They help us to keep the lights on the podcast and, you know, make it all possible so that we can make this content for you. Last bit of self-promotion. Here it comes. There we go. Oh, I thought the site had crashed then. The Page Builder Summit is back. It's happening, as you can see there, between the 20th and the 24th of May, 2024. If you sort of take a little look and scroll down, you'll be able to see all of our amazing speakers. We've got absolutely loads. This is the biggest one that we've done in terms of content. I think we've got over 40 presenters. Usually it's around the high 30s, something like that. It's totally free. You can watch the content for free for 48 hours after it comes out. And then we have this upsell where if you part with a small amount of cash, we will allow you to have that content forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so that's pagebuildersummit.com. Click that button and then put your email into this box and your name into this box. Then click this button and it'll go wrong. But, you know, it was a joke. So there we go. Pagebuildersummit.com. Check it out. Right. Let's get stuck into the WordPress and stuff. So this isn't new. In fact, we had this on a week ago or maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it was all about how WordPress was getting quicker. And it occurred to me that when I did that piece, it was totally out of context. I didn't really talk with the people on the panel about what they do. So just very quickly, Felix Arndt, who's on the WordPress performance team, was just outlining all the pretty incredible things that that team have done to make WordPress core faster. And so it's all things like image optimization, the interactivity API, the fact that the block editor loads a lot quicker. So there's loads and loads of different pieces in that jigsaw puzzle. But I was wondering what you good folk do when you think about making your WordPress websites fast. I mean, is this a conversation you get into with your clients? Do you have to persuade them that WordPress is not some sort of, you know, Luddite, slow, old-fashioned piece of code? So honestly, crosstalk, it's over to you. How do you take care of making your websites fast?
Yeah, I can
go for it.
Start. So as someone who makes Elementor websites, knowing that's a really big, kind of heavy plugin, I always opt for managed hosting. And if a client wants to make an Elementor site, I make sure I choose the right host.
It's a good place to start, isn't it? If you go for a big WordPress host, presumably with something like a CDN, a content delivery network or something like that. The nice thing about the managed WordPress host, I always thought, is that you can stop thinking about it. You just press the button, pay your monthly fee, and then think, okay, that's somebody else's problem. Whereas if you, DigitalOcean droplets here, there, and everywhere, then you've got all of that to worry about and the OS to update and everything. So anyway, yeah, okay, great advice. Start with managed hosting. Kyle or Andrew, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I moved to using blocks to build sites. A big reason for that being that it was so much quicker to do things. I'm a huge fan of the Perf Matters plugin. It does all kinds of fancy performance optimization bits there that help out quite a bit. Obviously, good hosting, optimizing your images, all those things. I'm also a huge fan of just keeping websites as simple as possible. So minimalism is good in my book. And that's not only good for, I think, for users being able to find information, but for things like accessibility and performance and all those. So that's definitely in my wheelhouse.
I was always one for doing it with plugins if I could do. So something like the Perf Matters plugin, which I haven't actually used, but I know it gets solidly recommended more or less wherever I go. But my problem with those kind of things is I never quite knew if I tick this box, what's actually happening? And, you know, will it break something down the line? And, you know, there's this page buried within a page, this little thing that might break because I've combined the CSS or something like that. So I was always a bit nervous to do that and just put on the minimum settings and then looked at it for a few days and then clicked something else and saw if that broke anything. But yeah, plug it.
Actually did like a 2-hour long webinar with Brian, the founder of Perf Matters, to go through every setting in his plugin and talk about like what does this do? How dangerous is this to turn this on? And it does get very, very complicated. What's nice about that plugin in particular is you can export all your settings. So if you're using like a similar stack across all your websites, you can kind of have your baseline set up in that and export and import it to sites and not have to worry about that too much.
Yeah. The curious thing about WordPress is there's so much that comes onto a WordPress page that really doesn't need to be there. You know, if you look at the HTML, there's loads and loads of things that you just don't need. And in a sense, it would be kind of nice that there was toggles inside a WordPress core to turn a lot of that kind of stuff off. But those plugins handle that admirably. We'll get onto some other options in a minute. But finally, Andrew, what about you? What's your go-to first?
Yeah, I used the two major hosts I use have CDNs built in and use edge caching. So that really, really helps. And the only, I've tried Perf Matters, but it was just too complex for me because I'm brainless. So WP Rocket, which you can turn off the HTML and unused CSS and all that kind of stuff and make sure that plugins only load when they're being used. You know, Perf Matters is great. Don't get me wrong, but for me, I don't want to. And I know you can export the settings, same as WP Rocket. You can export those, but on cheaper hosting, and certainly on my, I use GridPane for some of my hosting. Their caching rules are brilliant. I mean, they're just immediately your sites are just faster. So then all you need to do then is tweak it. But a story, one thing is over-engineered. I wrote a blog post of our websites, WordPress websites, over-engineered. Wrote it about 3 weeks ago because I took over a client's maintenance. Some guy built, and it was a guy, built an Elementor web page for this client that was over 118 megabytes, just the page.
And wow, that's got to be some kind of record. That's it. Like, he was going for it.
I mean, it has this animation that uses 140 little images, but there's three of those animations on the page. So okay. They're just, you know, if we can take animations away from the web, it would save the planet. Two, it would save people like us having to explain to our client why their website is taking 23 and a half seconds to load. And we wouldn't have to, doubt. I mean, I honestly, that the problem is designers are great and they're very creative, but please, it's the web. It's a live thing. Design things like this for magazines and brochures and, you know, bring out all your design chops on those things. And then when your client says my sales have gone down because my website's so slow, stop designing stuff that's WYSIWYG. You know, it's all this motion graphic stuff. What's going on? You can't even see what's going on a web page these days.
In a first for the WP Builds This Week in WordPress show, Dave Dunn Web Dev managed to put in a comment about something before we talked about it. I don't know if he's like, you know, if he's sort of able to time travel or something, but that's pretty impressive. That was in there like a solid 30 seconds before we even got onto the subject of animation. So Dave Dunn, hat tip to you. If you can do that again in this episode, I am truly going to start a religion in your name. That's pretty impressive. But yeah, he makes the point. Yeah, don't care too much about animations on sites. Autoplay animations are also an accessibility issue, says Matty G. Oh, hi. Hi there. How are you doing? We were due to do a podcast episode, which never happened because of various things that were going on in with Matty. But it's nice to have you with us. And then Derek Ashower, custom themes, good hosting, WP Rockets for some sites that need a little bit more help. Okay, so there were two reasons I wanted to put that on the screen, i.e. that article. Number one, so that we could all share what it is that we've done, and I think we've done that now. Number two, though, is that I started playing quite fairly seriously this last week, fortnight, with making some of my WordPress sites static, just to see how that went. I don't know if you've come across this principle before, but you basically, in my case, you install a plugin, and I was using Patrick Posner's Simply Static plugin. And it kind of crawls your website, flattens everything to just raw files. So HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Then you ship it off to a CDN by clicking a button. And then you can just turn your website off. You can just collapse the WordPress website, switch it off completely. And it is lightning fast, as you'd imagine, because it's just, you know, it doesn't have to go and compile anything or go through any PHP loop or anything like that.
And there's a few gotchas. You know, you can't have interactive dynamic stuff on there. You can't have form. Well, you can, but there's a few steps to jump through. And I wondered if any of you had played with that, because A, it's really fast, and B, it's probably quite good for the environment. And if you have, what were your experiences? Did you pursue it, or did you just abandon it after a while because it was a bit of a faff?
Yeah, so I used to work at a hosting company that had Shifter. Shifter was the first static site generator for WordPress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for about a year, I was the one, you know, answering the support chat for Shifter. But I moved quite a few of my websites and client websites to Shifter, just obviously because I have had perks as an employee. But I didn't see moving it from a managed host at Pressable to Shifter. I didn't see much of an improvement, but also the sites I moved, they weren't that large to begin with. However, going back to that person with the very, very large web page built with Elementor, I do that, but not in the same way. So I build web page presentations, like 45-minute to 1 hour presentations that are just in a web page. So I scroll down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So these pages end up being very large as well. The first few web page presentations I built, my site was hosted on Shifter. And then after I left the company and I moved my site back to a managed host, I didn't see any lag. I didn't see any performance decrease at all. And I was very concerned that I might, and I didn't. So I was very happy about that. Maybe it's something about Pressable and them being great. Or maybe my web page wasn't as long as I thought it was.
Yeah, I think Pressable, along with other managed WordPress hosts, I think they cache everything, and you know, it's all on their Edge network as well. So they've probably done
Pressable do it slightly better than most. I mean, Rocket.net are great as well, but Pressable are unusually good, you know. But they're premium prices. You know, that's the thing. If you want to pay a cup of coffee a month for your website, it's going to get spilt occasionally, you know. So if you want to invest in your website, then $30 a month is the minimum you should be paying if you want a reliable website, good uptime, great support. $30 a month is really your minimum that you want to pay.
Yeah, I was just doing it to experience what it would be like, you know, how straightforward it would be. And honestly, it was really straightforward. You genuinely click buttons. I followed a tutorial, which is in the Page Builder Summit from Patrick Posner. I'm going to point to that repeatedly during this episode. And it was linking his plugin with Bunny CDN. And it was just sort of walking you through the steps of how to, you know, where's the API key and all that. Because it's, you know, it's buried. The whole process took about 15 minutes the first time. The second time I did it, maybe 5. And then the third time I did it, like 3. And it compiled the site. It's a pet project. Nobody's really looking at it. So, there's that. Hmm.
There could be a reason why Elementor bought Stratic with Miriam Schwab.
Yeah.
And that team, you know, they Stratic were one of the innovators. What was that win that you mentioned? Who was that? I'd never heard of that. I'm too young in the WordPress.
Shifter.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, but then if you want a static website, then why don't you just build in HTML?
Well, that's an interesting point, and we'll get onto a podcast about just that a little bit later. But for now, the reason I was doing it, because I could just ship a website that I'd already got. Plus, I can just so it's all done on local, you know, local, the app that you can download for the Mac and Windows and what have you. And I just kill it and then start it up again, make the amendments that I want, click the export button, wait 5 minutes, shut it down again. So it's really that simple. Obviously, you know, you wouldn't really want clients doing that because obviously the site's dead. To them, they wouldn't be able to log in. You just get this 404 page. But I just thought it was, honestly, I've had such fun doing it. It was like a real moment this week where I was like, oh, wow, there's this whole other bit of WordPress that
it's
I haven't
great
really.
For security as well. It's great for security.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's
the
internet. The problem is, I mean, I know that Stratic, when Miriam was developing Stratic for about, 10 years or something, the problem was, I want to build a WordPress website and I want Gravity Forms on it and Gravity Forms won't work, or I want Fluent or WS Form, it won't work, you know, so you. There are workarounds now that they came about before she sold it to, or her team sold it to Elementor. But that's the issue, is that you're not going to get the animations unless they're GIFs, because you're not going to get the, but it is, well, Pete says, why worry about SEO if you can't rely on elements of dynamic content? HTML websites are just as SEOable as any other website. In fact, more so in my view, because they're faster. They you know, so Google likes them. They load immensely quickly. They're full of good content. There's no JavaScript to interrupt with anything. That they get scanned by the search engines much, much quicker. I grew up with HTML websites, but I didn't have any problem with SEO at all. I think it's a great thing. Not to diss Pete, because he's great at what he does, but you know, you don't need a plug. There's a couple of websites I've got that are SEO'd okay. There's no SEO plugin on there. It's not something that you have to worry about too much. But for speed and everything, I think static websites are great. And actually, if you look at Canva, what they're doing with websites is incredible. And you can attach your own domain name to them as well. And they're just HTML websites.
Yeah. One of the things which I couldn't work out, Pete, actually, was trying to get the XML or any kind of sitemap exported. So I actually got in touch with Patrick, and he says he's just shipping it in the next release. So it'll have an XML Brilliant. Sitemap, or maybe just a sitemap. I don't know how that'll work, but he's going to make it so that...
HTML sitemap.
Yeah, I would imagine maybe something like that. But we'll see. But he was very amenable to that idea. He immediately said, yeah, let's ship that. That sounds good. And then, okay, Flying Pressed or something similar, says T. Drayson. I'm sorry if I'm getting your name wrong. Something similar where it generates static HTML files and minifies assets, but it's all stored locally in the WP contents of the server functionality. Oh, okay. So it's like caching in a way, maybe. And then Pete's saying running WordPress as a headless CMS is probably a better solution for actual production. Yeah, this would be lousy for clients, because it's switched off. When, you know, that you can't edit the content unless I come to my Mac and then switch local on and then start the site, interact with it, shut it down. So yeah, you're absolutely right, Pete. It is, it is poor in that sense. You couldn't ship anything to a client. Anyway, there you go. That was an interesting aside. Let's move on. One of the benefits you might get if you went static would be that your site would be AKA sustainable. And sustainability in WordPress is a thing, I think, which is going to be a really big deal within the next few years. The idea being, apparently, if the internet was a country, it would be the seventh biggest polluter on the planet. I think it's bigger than Argentina in terms of its footprint. Another curious fact, my son told me this the other day, and I may have said it on the show, I don't know. If you could take the entire internet's protons and electrons, in other words, all the bits that make the internet up, guess how much it weighs? The whole internet, guess how much it actually weighs? You don't know, do you? I'm going
to
tell you.
I have no idea where to start.
The same as a strawberry.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? All of this stuff that we're doing, and it weighs less than a strawberry. He could, of course, be lying.
Just how insignificant we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even that fond of strawberries.
Oh, I love strawberries.
I could have said like three grapes or something. That would have been way better. But okay. So I did a podcast episode with a lovely Spanish chap called Nawai Badiola. And it's really worth a listen because he sets out the case for why we need to be a little bit more mindful about sustainability in the WordPress space. Not just in terms of the bits that we put on our websites. In other words, the videos, the images, the assets, the server that we're using, the CDN that we're using, all of that, but also the sort of socioeconomic impacts of having a sustainable community. I got to say, this is landing for me more after this podcast episode than it ever has before. And I'm taking it a bit more seriously because I think he's right. And the sort of apocalyptic scenario that we're all presented with in terms of the environment is something that we need to take care of. But again, in the same way that I asked you to comment a minute ago about what you do for sort of hosting and things, do you do anything like this? Do you pitch this to your clients? Are you telling them, okay, we're going to minimize your assets? Not because it's clever for SEO, but do you say it like, because it's good for the environment? I'm really curious as to whether or not you pitch the environment as a thing.
Yeah, it's on my website that I use green hosting, and it's on Bertha uses green hosting. I use green hosting.
So that is an offset, right? Presumably it's consuming energy.
Well, whatever it is, I was told to use this particular thing to get the certificate, or not the certificate, the little thing on the bottom of my website that says
right.
I use green hosting. So Cloudflare, for instance, is recognized as a green supply. You know, it helps bring down the stuff. I mean, you know Hannah Smith
from the Green Web Foundation.
What's her news? She got married, didn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
Green, is it? Hannah Green, yeah. I mean, she is...
Wow, no way. No way is that her surname now. That's just not... What?
Is it? No, Hannah. What's her surname now?
I don't know, but if it's Green, that's the
best. I spent some time with her on flying from... poor woman had to sit next to me for a couple of hours on a Serbian flight, you know, a flight to Serbia. She's a phenomenal powerhouse of green issues, and she set up the Green Foundation, and she's got to be on this show. You've got to be on every podcast that talks about website hosting or how to make yourself greener. I know that Wynn, actually, you're a green, I didn't mean to point you rudely there, but you're a green person. You advocate for, on your LinkedIn stuff, you speak about, you know, I've watched a couple of your work with Wynn, and you speak about green issues all the time and sustainability and don't put this on, don't put that on, all that kind of stuff. So it's a big issue as far as I'm concerned, especially as I'm getting older. You know, I'm thinking, my daughter's getting older. She may have children one day, you know, and she...
Yeah, this is the intuition, isn't it? It's because I'm of an age, I'm fairly old now. I'm not really, really, really old, but a lot of these impacts I feel won't necessarily be the most severe for me.
No,
but I have children. What are we leaving them, you know, and all for the sake of just making a little bit more effort. But it's so easy with computers. I mean, everything's shiny. There's no smoke coming out the back of my computer. It's clean. It's kind of wipe downable, you know, and it's really easy to just imagine, well, it's not doing anything, you know, and you leave your Mac on all night, or you leave the lights on all night, or you don't optimize your images and you don't do this and you don't do that. But I'm imagining not only will legislation force web developers to be good at this, but I'm also imagining there'll be like a fairly high moral bar for a lot of clients, especially government clients and bigger clients who just have to prove that they've gone through the due diligence. So Kyle or Wynn, over to you if you do any of this stuff.
Yeah. So last year I actually went to a very, very interesting conference. It was called Reclaim Open by a hosting company called Reclaim Hosting. They support higher ed hosting. But it was all about the past, present, and future of the open web. And the keynote, they had a keynote speaker for past, present, and future. And the keynote speaker for the future was all about green issues and how in the future, sooner than you expect, we may have to make a decision between turning on the lights and getting on Facebook. And that's kind of a scary decision to have to make and to think like...
Just that decision, I'm okay with that. I can do the lights or Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm always lights, never Facebook.
Or maybe turning on the lights and listening to the WFU Builds podcast.
Oh, gosh, that's apocalyptic. Go on.
Yeah.
But his name is Brian Alexander, and he has a few books and a few lectures on it. So I've been following him ever since, and I think that's when the issue was first exposed to that issue. But ever since I've really been following it.
I think I'm going to toss it to Kyle and see what he says.
So I haven't listened to your podcast episode yet, but that same guy, I'm assuming this is why you had him on, did a 7-part series.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly why. Yeah. Nice.
So go listen to Nathan's first and then go to sustainwp.com. And he has a whole series there. It really opened my eyes to like a lot of things that I never considered were like under that umbrella of sustainability. And I thought it was super interesting. I've actually reached out to him to have a chat with him myself. If you've never done any of this thought experiment or looked into how your stack affects things, if you go to websitecarbon.com, you can go in there, put your URL, your page, hit calculate, and it'll tell you some little facts about how green or not green your website is. And that's a good starting place just to see, like, what is the impact I have As an agency, as my own websites, all those kinds of things. So definitely something I'm thinking about more, talking with my clients more. I promote accessibility and performance and all those things. And most of those things end up making sites lighter weight and all that. So yeah. I tie all that in when I'm talking with clients as well.
So do you when you're talking with your clients though, do you use the word sustainable or environment or any of those kind of things as like a hook into, you know, this is part of the package that you're buying. We're gonna give you an environmentally friendly, you know, or more so environmentally friendly website. Is that part of the patter?
I would say my spiel would probably have some asterisks on it because I'm not the most knowledgeable person in this area, but it's something that I want to be more conscious about doing. So I think it's a good thing to relay to clients. And when I have to talk about it, then I'm forced to actually act on it a little bit more too. So it's a bit of accountability for myself. I think it's definitely something to be thinking about because like you said, in the future, this is going to be a much bigger problem than it is today if we don't do something right now.
Yeah. And I feel like not only will it be a problem, I think you won't be able to put out a website that you know, goes over a certain limit. You'll just get absolutely crushed by Google. Because I can, you know, the Core Web Vitals and the Lighthouse scores and all of those, there's a bit of that in there, isn't there? You know, let's make everything smaller. Let's make everything load quickly. Interestingly, during the podcast episode, and this is, check this out. What a statistic this is. He was talking about a person, and forgive me, I've forgotten their name. They have a plugin, a WordPress plugin, which is it's WordPress to MailChimp, and it connects your WordPress website to your MailChimp account. And I guess, you know, it takes emails and puts them into your lists or something. It's got 2 million installs, so it's massive. He took out 20 kilobytes of JavaScript, right? 20 kilobytes. And then he calculated, and the link to his article is in the show notes. So if you go to this Tavern post, it's number 118. If you go wptavern.com, click on the podcast link here, and it'll be the, you know, number 118. And he worked out that he, by taking 20 kilobytes of JavaScript out of his website, he literally prevented tons and tons of carbon. So car-sized amounts of carbon by doing that one tiny, tiny little thing. And I don't know, maybe that's not hitting you in the same way that it hit me, but when I said that to me, it was like a gut punch. I was like, what, he did that tiny thing and tons of carbon were not put into the environment. He's like, yep, that's exactly what he did. And I found that pretty astonishing. So every time you squash an image, every time you use a placeholder instead of a YouTube embed, every time you do something, especially if it's a popular site, it could have a profound difference. You can see that now I had an effect on me. Go and check out the podcast episode. But yeah, anyway, there you go. Well, anybody want to do anything with that, Andrew?
Well, Bavden says on last Thursday, I didn't attend, but Amnesty International went through all their website and everything, and they made the design open source. And I'm pretty sure I listened to some of it, because I couldn't go, because it was more than 2 hours drive. But anyway, Amnesty showed about how the fact that because they're Amnesty, there's a microscope on them. What are you doing sustainability wise? What are you doing this wise? What are you doing? You know, what are you using? So open source. And that, I think that's what the conversation that Davdon is talking about, because sustainability is important and we've got to, it's not going to affect us. You know, I'll be pushing up the daisies way before the sun burns the planet down to rock. But, you know, for our grandchildren, for their grandchildren, for their grandchildren, you know, I think it's worth us thinking about maybe being a little bit more clever about the way we do things with, you know, what petrol we use, what fuel we use, how often we drive our cars, what type of cars we drive, how often we keep the lights on, et cetera. Do we need two screens on at the same time, really? You know, all that kind of stuff, right?
Now I was talking about that he's hoping to get shipped into court. So there's the the WordPress sustainability team now is a thing, which is great. And they are hoping to work on something which would go into court, very lightweight, to give you metrics, intel about what your WordPress website is doing. I know there are other endeavors doing the same thing. Sorry, Carl, I think I cross-talked you there. Apologies.
No, you're good.
Okay.
I wouldn't on that one.
Okay. So yeah, go check that out. So Courtney says, yeah, so hat tip to Noai. It's called Sustain WP is the podcast episode. Let me just make sure. I'm just looking in the comments here. Oh gosh, can you see? Yeah, there you go. Sustain WP. So Google that. Oh, I'm not showing it on the screen. There you go. Sustain WP is the is
Hannah
the
Smith.
Hannah Smith is yeah. Alrighty, let's move on. An important conversation, possibly the most important thing of our time. Right, I don't know what you're going to think about this. Maybe this will keep us engaged for milliseconds. I don't know. This is a post by Rich Table, and he's saying, wouldn't it be nice if rather than, and I know Kyle uses the block editor, I use the block editor. I love the block editor. It's the default for me in everything now. And one of the things which Rich has noticed is, when you basically load up a page, the little inserter, that panel on the left, which, you know, think page builder, it's the place where you go to find out where everything is on the page and all that. It's not open by default. And wouldn't it be good if it was open by default? So it's a little thing, right? Little teeny tiny thing. But I think that's quite a profound thing. He also says, whilst we're at it, why don't we do this? And this is great. I love this. So at the moment on the screen, this is what you see. You've got the search box. Then you've got underneath, you've got this series of tabs. Now, plugins and things can add extra tabs, but blocks, patterns, and media. He's saying, let's swap it around, put blocks, patterns, and media above the search box, and then make the scope of the search box related to the tab that you've got open. I just have to say, clever Rich, basically. I think it's a really neat idea. And so it's like little micro cuts, isn't it, with the block editor, little tiny little things that we do like this. Dead cool. So again, I don't know if anybody wants to talk about that, but I thought I'd raise it. So
I thought he was suggesting we blur the logo.
Yeah. What was going on there? I wonder.
I disagree with both of these things.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I'm just here to cause controversy. Well, one, if you scroll back up to the screenshot above that, so where they're seeing the insert there, I always have that open for the list view of all the blocks on my page.
So you're clicking on this icon here, this little.
That's what I want open all the time. So this would totally get in my way because I'd rather have the list view open. And then when it comes to the search, I feel like clients would then have to remember, am I searching for a block or a pattern? Right now, the fact that you just search and it finds anything that fits in those categories for me makes it a whole lot easier. So I'm all for making these little improvements, but I actually disagree with both of these.
Okay, right. I've changed my mind. It's a terrible idea. No, I like it, but I do get your point. What about some kind of compromise then? What about a set? So I know we don't want endless settings in the WordPress, like vanilla install. What about if you could specify one of these as the default? So you could say, okay, show me this panel, or you show me all of the stack blocks with this one. And that would be the one that came open all the time. So who knows?
You can go in your settings and have one, like have the list view open by default, but then you have to do that on every install. And I'm just in way too many websites to worry about that. Like
you'll change
the settings every time.
Okay.
Did anyone read the discussion?
Oh, I did, but it was, I read it at last week, late. What are we seeing?
Basically, to make Carl happy, we're not all happier, is basically if you invoke the list view, the panel disappears. And this is so page builder, it's unbelievable. You know, you can collapse a page builder panel, you can expand it, you can drag in Divi, you can drag and drop it, all that kind of stuff in Elementor. You can make it smaller and just be icon driven to open it or invoke it again. And this is it with panels. What I'm really concerned about is, so when in Gutenberg the patterns appear, there's when you first install the WordPress site and the patterns appear in your post. There's a pop-up that comes up with patterns, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's not accessible. There's no focusing.
Okay. You've opened up another can of worms.
What this doesn't consider is that there's got to be focus, right? So where's the focus? Is it on the panel, or is it on the page, or where's the focus going to be? So this is a great idea. I love it personally because I'm a page builder. I've come from the page builder world. Carl's been working in blocks for years now with generate blocks, I think is your default, isn't it, Kyle? So you're kind of used to working with blocks. Wynn works in, you work in basic, you work in WordPress, right? With blocks and stuff like that.
Elementor.
Oh, Elementor. Anyway, Elementor's, I'm joking. Elements is great. I find it hard, but anyway, so Elementor has this. You can collapse the blocks, right? And you can expand them and you can make them, you see wherever you search within whatever section you're using. So this is almost, a tribute to page builders. They saying, actually guys, they got it right. Yeah.
So I never use the inserter here because I just press the forward slash on my keyboard and then you can quick insert things right on the page.
Developer. You know what you're doing. You know, you've been using blocks for ages. So Jamie Marsden, when he goes through his lovely little courses, his lovely little quick teaches, when he inserts a cover, he goes forward slash cover. He doesn't.
Yeah, I do that for some, but I've got some saved.
This is not for developers. Tell me you're a developer without telling me you're a developer. This is my point to my intro. Developers don't think about the user. If we want users to use WordPress, we have to make it easier. This makes it easier. That simple. But, you know, developers have got it's a bit of a dilemma. Do I want to make this easier for my customers to make? Or do I want to make it harder? If I make it harder, I've still got, authority over my customers. And that's the issue. You know, remember when agencies used to lock their customers into, oh, if you need an amendment done, it's going to cost you $75 for 10 minutes work or whatever it may be. We have to get real with real users. Otherwise, we're going to lose them to proprietors.
I've got a suggestion, right? What about if when the page loaded, we had more or less a diagonal, like from corner to corner, top left, bottom right, inserter that was almost, you know, like 300-400 pixels wide. Maybe with the blink CSS attribute. No, don't listen to me. We got T. Drayson in the comments, though. He's saying he agrees the navigator view should be open first. Okay. Yep. All right. Fair enough. Oh, loads of comments about this. Dave Dunn says, yeah, the list navigator view, would he like that open as well? Patricia, Andrew, you need to commit on the GitHub issue so all voices are heard. So there you go.
I haven't got a GitHub account. I've got so many accounts. Why? I just make everything on WordPress. If contributors could contribute to work, make it on make.wordpress, and I'm happy because I've got accounts all over the place. Ask me to have a GitHub account to make a contribution to WordPress is killing me.
David's back. He says, from what I've heard, there's lots of accessibility issues in the back end of WordPress and the page builders. Only time the insert should be first opened is directly after you create a new page. Okay. Yep. I mean, that strikes me as quite a good time. I mean, moment to insert a pattern does feel like about then, doesn't it? And then Matty says, I build custom blocks for customers. I always think about how they will interact with these blocks. Why can't Core do the same? Gosh, I thought this would take us about a minute. We've got a good 10 minutes on that little thing. So Rich, you've stirred up the hornet's nest. Thank you.
It's a great idea, Rich. And I don't know what he is, but I think he's in charge of Core pretty much, or he's a
magician. He's not at the sort of Matthias level. I don't know. Courtney, I bet you, Courtney, if she's still tuning in, I bet you she can give us his job description. But you're right. I think he's very senior. I think his, what he says is listened to. So posts like that do get some attention. Okay, I'm going to miss a few things out because we're running a little bit late. So here we go. Let's go to this one next. If you're in the UK and you are feeling the sadness because there aren't that many in-person events, WordPress London meetup being an exception. Thank you. Somebody was popping in saying they attended that recently. But the only WordCamp that's happened since 2019 in the UK is one at Whitley Bay, which is really, really close to Newcastle. So it's in the northeast of England, and they are preparing their next one. I've actually forgotten the dates. It'll be on the homepage, but it's just to say that if you go to Whitley Bay, and the spelling is on the screen, Whitley bay.wordcamp.org/2024, you can get the tickets. Looking at the moment, there's loads still available. It's a small WordCamp, one day. There you go. It's on the 12th of June, and you can buy the tickets now. So I don't know. Anybody want to mention anything there? Should we just crack on? Let's crack on. Okay.
Get there if you can. Get there.
Okay. Yeah, I think I might go this year. Because last year I couldn't because there was various other things going on. And this is also just to mention that the WordCamp Europe, which is coming up soon, it's like, oh, I don't know, several weeks away, a handful of weeks, a collective noun of weeks away. And the contributor day, sort of all of the information about it has been released. I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. Another thing just to mention is that Jonathan Bossinger, who's an automatician, if you were watching last week, Automatic, or actually WordPress.com, have put out this thing called Studio. It's just like Local, but with a few bells and whistles that are different and a few less bells and whistles. And Jonathan, in about an hour, 20 minutes, something like that, runs through how to use it and how to make it all work and how you can connect it in your development workflow. I'm just going to keep talking because I don't think we want to dwell on these, do we? If anybody does have something they want to say, just fully interrupt and I'll stop. And then came out a couple of days ago, the Data Liberation Project Plan. This is the idea of being able to get your WordPress website, get stuff from other website CMSs. So I don't know, Joomla, Drupal, Squarespace, Wix, bring it into WordPress, but do the opposite, you know, ship it out from somewhere else. In other words, be a good custodian. Don't hold on to your data. Facebook. And, you know, just be an open source thing. So this project, I think, really, really important in the near future. And this is all about the plan to get that project off the ground. And
I would really encourage people to read more about that. I think people got the wrong idea of what the Data Liberation Project is all about. It feels like maybe there's some miscommunication in the marketing of it, because I feel like there's a bunch of people against it, and I just don't see why you wouldn't want everything to be more portable, like everything included, you know?
Yeah, I don't see what great initiative. I just wonder if maybe people are just thinking it's diverting, I don't know, people's developer time or something. But why wouldn't we want to do that? You know, with stagnating market share, I don't think shrinking, but stagnating. If you can persuade a client to come to you because you know that the overhead of importing their site from Squarespace to Wix is as much as it takes to press a button, that's just saving you so much time as a developer. You'll be able to pass that cost on to them. They'll be on this, you know, fabulous CMS that we all love, WordPress. I think it's brilliant. Well,
I know I saw the folks at Lifter LMS, I believe, at WordCamp US talking about this, and like the idea of You do get locked into some of these plugins, right? So there's lots of LMS plugins, but if you pick one and you put all your content in there and you decide, hey, I actually want to use this other one now, you're basically starting over. Like you have content you can copy and paste, but they're not using the same tables. They're not using the same fields and all that, right? So the idea with this is if we could all agree on the same data sets for everything that's similar between the ones, then somebody could switch from one LMS plugin to another plugin and just port everything over, which I think would be awesome for users. Like if we're talking about users first, that seems like a home run.
I wonder if some of the pushback then is coming from people who have that vendor lock-in. You know, let's say that you've got a plugin where you've got some commercial rivals, they're on the rise, your sales are stagnating. Okay.
If your marketing strategy is customers into my you know, dying plugin, that's probably not the great. The marketing strategies should be, we have the best one possible. Like, make your product better than everybody come to.
Exactly. Yeah. See, it's in the headline. It's in the hero. We will lock your data down so hard.
Well, Sean Barton, who's a plugin developer 8 years ago, this plugin still exists. Divi was always criticized for being short code driven. That's going to change in Divi 5, of course. But Sean basically just wrote a plugin called Goodbye Divi and just strips out all of the short code and gives you the text. And links to the image.
Okay.
So that's, and I built a little thing for a while. I ran out of money, unfortunately, because I didn't run out of money. I just ran out of money in my head because I'd spent $7,500 on a developer and he was kind of absent a lot of the time. So I just thought, oh, I can't be doing this. But we developed a thing where you could basically go from Elementor pages to Gutenberg blocks. And that was when Gutenberg was very young. It's still a lot, you know, I've still got all the code and everything, but we still had to build our own blocks, ironically, because we couldn't have a slider block, for instance, and it was basically mapping what went across. So if you had a basic Elementor page, it's called GutenbergAI.com. I think it's still alive, but you know, you can upload an Elementor page and see how it does. But, we had to develop a whole new block plugin as well to make it work. And it was kind of just kicking ourselves in the shins every day. It was hard work. So I just said, no more money for that. Move on.
No, nobody likes to be kicked in the shins.
Every day.
Once a day. Okay, so Rosie Robinson. So this is going back to WordCamp Whitley Bay. She says Brighton had one. Okay, sorry, misstep there. And Courtney, here we go. Rich is the director of product at Automattic, so very senior. I believe much of the patterns we see in the previews of WP Big Sky are his work. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Okay, so data liberation. Woohoo! Good idea. I think we all agree.
Right idea.
Right. All right. Okay. This is the next one. It's all about the media core. I think I should bow out of this in all honesty, but I'm going to quickly say something. The idea has been, the conversation publicly. The idea is that in the near future, the WordPress media core will become a thing. And this is, I can't really think about how to describe it. So I'll just say it like this and I've probably got a lot of it wrong. Would be to create kind of like a fire hose of WordPress. So not like the plugin ecosystem, the third party plugin ecosystem, the WordPress, the project, a fire hose of things that are happening so that then they can distribute it to a pre-selected, if you like, pre-selected or predetermined set of media partners. And those media partners would then have the up-to-date knowledge. They would know what's going on without having to go and search for it on, you know, the Make blog or the Slack channels or reading it in newsletters or what have you. And just to see how that goes, just to see what that would be like. And the obvious sort of tension here is that in order to get this started, boots need to be put on the ground, and the boots that Josepha has the access to are automaticians. And so it'll be automaticians doing this to begin with. But I don't think my intuition, well, what I'm reading is that's not the whole point. It's just we need to start and I can get these automaticians doing it. So let's make a start with that. I think what this is all about really is WordPress and the shrinking of like events and the possible combating of third-party systems, you know, Squarespace, Wix and all of that. Just growing in market share and having gigantic marketing teams. Wix apparently have got 400 people full-time on their marketing team. And obviously WordPress has, you know, volunteers, which is a bit different. And so this is going to happen. There's a follow-up article by Reyes Martinez, and she just outlines what's going to go on, who's going to be selected, what the criteria are. And also provides a link to the Slack channel where you can join. I believe it's WP Media Core, something like that. Anyway, I'll provide the links in the show notes. To me, this seems like a great idea because being somebody that is worried about this sort of stuff and wants to share information, not having to go look for it is really interesting. Courtney and I, who were on the call, we had a chat about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago on a Friday where she went through her process of how she finds information. And there's a lot. There's a lot going on, and it would be nice if it was easier and kind of like if we're spoon fed, wouldn't that be nice? Okay, that's as much as I want to say about that. Does anybody want to say anything?
I mean, it seems like let's just try to organize the way this information is shared. It feels like a whole project. I mean, it seems like what you do with an email list to me. So maybe I just don't fully understand it because it feels like, hey, everybody who wants to distribute WordPress news, join this email list and we'll email you when stuff is out. Seems like that could be done in an afternoon, you know?
Yeah, there are certain criteria at the moment about who will be the recipient of that information. I'm just desperately trying to find it at the moment. I can't see
that part of it. Like, is there gatekeeping and
right.
Who's getting to decide?
Yeah, there is gatekeeping.
There is gatekeeping. Now, luckily, I think I managed to have the key to that padlock just because of what I do. But that's not going to be the same for everybody. And I am desperately trying to find it now. It's things like...
Didn't you see this coming, Nathan, with Jamie Marsden now working a little bit for Automattic, with Bob now having a podcast that is now sponsored by Automattic? You're sponsored by Automattic as well via WP Tavern, or are you sponsored by Matt directly?
I'm not sponsored by Automattic, no.
Are you sponsored by Matt then?
No. Audrey Capital.
Audrey Capital, so Matt, basically, yeah. So we have already three people that are media people going out doing podcasts. We've got Bob, I think his Do the Woo is now sponsored by Automattic, isn't it? Or something, or within the Automattic situation. They did an advert on it, and who is Bob? And I think from that, I kind of thought, oh, what's going on here then? We've got influencers. We've got people that are WordPress, like Jamie is total WordPress blocks. He's completely committed to it, has been from the very beginning, doesn't use any other, block situation like, Kyle or me. I use Cadence blocks mainly because of Kathy. So well done, Kathy. And you've got these influencers who are, they're going to be gate kept because there's going to be secrets given to them or maybe little snippets or whatever. And I'm just concerned. I get that Automattic, it needs to start from somewhere and there needs to be some finance behind it to promote, WordPress better. But why not just build a marketing team and say, right, this is now the marketing team for WordPress.org and they're paid for by Automattic. Why not?
Yeah.
Why
okay. Do that? The because scary gatekeeping part of that is you have to
yeah. The, you, well, you the discussions will be.
Let's let Carl have a go. Go,
but
Carl.
The discussions will be a nightmare on it. Sorry, you Carl, go. Go.
Yeah. Influencers that would be, you know, some of the people privy to this information, but it was all white men, right? So what I worry about with the gatekeeping part of it is, are we going to make this open enough to everybody? Yeah, you know?
Right. Okay. So if I made a mistake there, fair enough. You know, Wynne is an influencer. She does a great little podcast or thing on LinkedIn every week. Is it every week?
Yeah. Try to every week. Yeah.
And you do lives as well. I watch them. You know, I'm lucky enough to know that, that you do all these kind of things. So we've got diversity and we've got Kathy Zantz of this world, the Courtney's of this world, who are massive influence, but it's just the thing is, I'm not talking about that area. I'm talking about why not just build a marketing department? If you're going to have automaticians gatekeeping, just make them the marketing people. It seems crazy, you know, just be very open about the fact that Automattic is sponsoring the marketing department of WordPress.org, or get someone to throw some money at WordPress and say, right, this is now our marketing department for the next year. And we're employing marketers rather than anything else. So I just find it, I find it very odd that this has come about. I get it, but I find it very odd.
I can't find the bit where they mention what the gatekeeping criteria are, but I know it's there. There's about four criteria. One of them was like, you know, I don't know, like is 80% WordPress content. And I can't remember what the others were. And no matter where I look, I cannot find it. But what I will say is I will link to it in the show notes. Like I said, I think that I might satisfy those criteria. And so, you know, woohoo, happy me kind of thing. But your point, Andrew, is not missed. That if there is gatekeeping, I imagine there'll be some level of pushback. But also, I suppose what Carl was saying was, maybe I'm paraphrasing you incorrectly, Carl. If I am, correct me. Like, you got to start somewhere. And so if this is just like, okay, here's the shove to get it off the ground, then let's let the community take it over. That seems like a reasonable place to start to me. So yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Then you will be just lost in discussion.
Yeah, well, let's find out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. That will be linked to in the show notes. The page is, well, I'll try and link to both, but the initial one that kickstarted my conversation there was this one by Josepha, WordPress Media Core Next Steps. And if anybody can find what the criteria were, please stick them in the comments. Anything's about that? Right, here we go. It's been frustrating, says Peter Ingersoll, that the marketing team is now being archived. Oh yeah, we forgot that whole bit as well, didn't we? Yeah, the marketing team as is being put on ice. That's my recollection from the article. It was really challenging to get to see any kind of traction there, especially with the lack of data and clear direction. Rob says, Andrew, Automattic did Bob's new website. So it sounds, yeah, okay, just Bob's website. I don't know if there's any ongoing sponsorship there. I thought I saw that the marketing team volunteers were pissed that the Slack was suddenly closed without any chat beforehand. Didn't see that. So if that's the case, that's another point, isn't it? A qualified me. Oh, hey, Peter Ingersoll. Not only does he have the weather, but he has the data. A qualified media partner would have 80% WordPress content, have high quality journal. Well, I'm screwed.
It says you out.
Yeah, high quality journalism writing. Okay. And maybe I'll get 3 out of 4. Follow WordPress community guidelines, I think. Honor embargoes, etc. Yeah, my understanding was that embargoed content wouldn't even be in the fire hose. That would be, you know, it's not like you'd get a week's notice on something that was coming out. That, I think, was off the table. But yeah, the have high quality content. But oh, well, it was a nice idea while it lasted.
Well, have you noticed, and not to be too controversial, but have you noticed that the marketing department of, or the marketing section of WordPress.org has suffered from an awful lot of disrespect over the years? With, if you remember, Yoast, our friend, you know, who's now at Amelia Capital, was announced as the new marketing director of WordPress.org or similar.
Yeah, yeah.
But head of marketing WordPress.org, and they hadn't even told the current head of marketing at WordPress.org that that was the case.
Do we suffer as a platform? Do
from we communication from, issues?
No. Well, okay, that wasn't where I was going. It was more, do we suffer from just this landslide of popularity over the last 10 years where WordPress hasn't really needed to organize itself in the marketing arena? Not really, because there weren't really, you know, rivals that were pumping Super Bowl ad kind of money into their rival platforms. It's just been like a word of mouth thing. But now we're in the situation where those rivals, for want of a better word, have got serious money, serious boots on the ground. And for the first time, maybe the people higher up have realized, okay, this is coming. We're going to have to combat it, but we haven't got Super Bowl ad money. What we've got is a community. So let's just figure out where we go. So I don't even know if that's true. I'm just curious.
Well, I think there's been a certain amount of sitting on your laurels. And the reason you don't sit on your laurels.
Sorry about that. I have been sitting.
They're quite sharp.
On my laurels, you know, they're very sore.
They'll cut your bun, you know. So you have to make sure. That's the way I'm saying.
That's the title of this episode. The laurels will cut your bum.
But you know that has been the case, and a lot of companies, you know, we've got a lot of plug-in companies that have been sitting on their laurels, and now they're having to spend money on marketing and things that they weren't really having to spend money on, because the product, people like Carl and myself and Wynn, we are the advocates. We are the people that drive the sales of these particular plugins and web building tools. Like Wynn is Elementor, Carl is Generate Blocks, has been for years, I think, haven't you, Carl? Like since it kind of came out. You know, I'm Divi. I love Divi, but now I'm sort of Divi and Cadence and Elementor. You know, and Beaver Builder, and I use them all and Blocks. But because that's who's been selling the product of WordPress to the customers. And now we're moving on. You know, we've got 27 different forms. We've got 17 different page builders. We've got 82 different blocks that we can choose from. Block providers, Crocker Blocks, GeneratePress, Cadence Blocks. There is unbelievable the amount of tools that we've got to use WordPress. That WordPress is almost becoming irrelevant. It's in what it can do, because with all the add-ons we've got, basically WordPress has eaten itself.
I didn't anticipate that this story would get quite the level of interest that it did. But, you know, you've got people like T. Drayson on the call there saying it feels like Automattic can call the shots with zero thought for anyone else. Yeah, in my selfish scanning of it, I wasn't seeing it from that side. I was seeing it from the other side. Okay, watch this space. Let's see what happens. But obviously, if you've got an opinion on it, go join the Slack channel.
Nobody benefits from WordPress.org being marketed better more than WordPress.com.
That's the title of this show.
I'm going to make a comment on that. It is still happening because WordPress.com, if you search a plugin, I searched a particular plugin the other day, And it took me directly to WordPress.com and said free on the premium plan of WordPress.com. Now, if you had searched that and found the WordPress.org, it was free. So there's some misleading marketing going on in WordPress. And I think everybody knows that I completely disagree with misleading marketing in any event. But in WordPress, it is getting so bad now where it's just, there's just dark patterns all over the place. And I'm not being the harbinger of doom, but if WordPress.com are doing dark patterns, which is basically saying this is free if you pay for WordPress.com, then that's a dark pattern. And I think as plugin developers and as plugin owners and I am a product owner, I think we have to avoid dark patterns like you cannot believe and start being, I do honest marketing, but I just wish the larger plugin developers out there and plugin owners started doing a little bit less dark patterns. You know, it's right. Driving me crazy at the moment.
I'm going to move it on just quickly. Peter Ingersoll, he says, if you're into this topic, go to the Make blog rather than the Slack channel. There's more happening over there. So thank you. That's good to know. Links in the show notes tomorrow morning. There you go. Right. Let's find the next thing. It is this quick hat tip to, we were talking about him just a moment ago, Jamie Marsland. He's got a nice video out on YouTube on his YouTube channel. It is, it's just his name, Jamie Marsland. Go search for that. And he has this really nice video. And in about, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes, I can look, can't I? It'll actually say 4 minutes 55. He shows you the new feature of WordPress patterns. And this is the idea that you can lock different parts. He calls it components, but it's patterns really with lockable bits. And it's just great, really nice summation of it. And I just wanted to raise attention of it. I don't really have a lot to say. It's 3:15 where I live. So we've got 15 minutes to crawl through a load of other stuff. Does anybody want to add to anything they saw in that video? If you haven't seen this feature, it's really cool. It's kind of buried right inside the advanced menu at the bottom, so you're unlikely to find it by accident, but it's really, really great. Anybody want to talk about what Jamie said?
Definitely go watch this video. It's only in the Gutenberg plugin right now. It's not in Decor yet. Sorry, Wynn, I stepped on you.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just about to ask a question, actually, because the title is WordPress Components. Does this have anything to do with, like, web components, because I've been hearing more and more about components?
I think my reading of it is no. It's just his word for, you know, it kind of maps to making bits of patterns feel like little components, but it's really just patterns with lockable bits. But the idea would be that you could have bits of a pattern that are synced and other bits which were not. So let's say that you've got a pattern with an image right, text left. You could swap those around and it would change on every pattern. But then you could make it so that on each individual instance of that pattern, you could change the text, but you couldn't, I don't know, you couldn't swap it back around again, something like that. So it's like highly customizable for people who are building websites for clients and they just want them to not have their hands in the design, say, but they want them to be able to, I don't know, amend titles or text or whatever it may be. So, yeah. Okay.
Decoupling. It's great. It's a good idea. Decoupling.
Yeah. Is that what it is? That the
you've been able to do that in Divi for years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt.
It's great, that Gutenberg's catching up after all these years. Yeah, you've always been able to decouple global elements, which is basically what they are. So it's partially sync patterns is the WordPress name they called it, which is great from TD Racing. But it's a good thing. Why not? And this is great point from Kyle. Lots of confusion with Gutenberg, because there's a Gutenberg plugin, which is basically, you got to think that's beta, right? So if you install the Gutenberg plugin, you've got all the beta things that they want to put into core, or maybe not. And then you've got Gutenberg blogs. So it's kind of, it's really confusing for non-developers, let's say.
What you need, Andrew, is a media core. You can get this information.
I don't think you're wrong.
Get this information out to the masses. You know,
no, I think what you need is we've got DevRel, haven't we?
Yeah.
We need UserRel.
Okay, DevRel. Let's stay with that. We have the developer.wordpress.org blog. They've launched a whole massive section about patterns this week. Everything you want to know about patterns, and probably some stuff that you didn't want to know as well. But it's all there. If you go to developer.wordpress.org/themes/patterns, and all of this content is new. Honestly, I wanted to say quite a bit about it, but we're running out of time. But boatloads of new content just landed in one hit on the 30th of April. So loads and loads of nice work has been put in there. Speaking of DevRel, this is an event happening. It's the registration link is over at Meetup. It is, it's Ryan Welsher and Nick Diego. They're doing a live webinar kind of thing, I guess, called Alternatives to Custom Meta Boxes in the Block Editor. And so I'm just going to read this out because I kind of think it's curious. Easy for you to say, Nathan. Custom meta boxes have been a common tool used by plugin and theme developers to add functionality to posts and pages in WordPress. While meta boxes are supported in the block editor, they are considered, in quotes, legacy tool and do not provide an ideal user experiences. And then they're going to explain what the other uses are. And I'm so wedded to meta boxes and plugins like ACF and all of that. This is going to cause me pain, but I'm going to have to go through it. I'm sure it'll be, maybe it'll be worth it in the end. So I'm going to attend that, I think, and go and see what it is that they're mentioning. Anything?
I'm going to attend it on the basis of I want to see, because they're both proper developers, these guys, right? Proper. I'm going to see what, if you bring it up again, he said it doesn't give a user experience, and I want to see whether it's a good user experience for whom.
I guess nice to be able to do everything in the same interface, right? Not have this save over here, then go over there and see what it looks like. You know, if you can do it all in the block editor and what you save is in a, I don't know, something equivalent to a meta box, but it's in a panel on the side instead of in a, you know, sitting underneath the content.
But then it's not dynamic site-wide, is it?
No, well, let's...
And that's the whole point.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. Maybe they've got some, like, secret juju that we don't know about.
Maybe they can decouple them.
Okay, let's... Anyway, it is on May the 14th, so not that far away, and it's 3 o'clock UTC, which I never know what that means, but that's what it
o'clock.
Is.
3 o'clock universal time.
Universal time cluster, something. I don't know what it means, but that's what it is. Okay, right, where are we? Okay, we all love it when stuff which was free becomes costly. Not costly, but costs something. And this happened this week. I'm not sure that it did happen, but let me just get the panel to say. WordPress, well, Jetpack Stats now has a fee attached to it. My understanding is that prior to this, it was a free product. You could use it for free and get, you know, kind of like Google Analytics style data, you know, not quite as in depth, but nevertheless, it was free. Now it comes with a price tag. If you're in the UK, it's going to be £6.95 per month. I don't know what that means, if that's one site or, you know, a whole suite of sites. I'm not sure. But this is a thing. But I don't even know if that's true. So does anybody know if what
true.
I said is true?
No, it's true.
Yeah, it's,
I love, I love Jetpack. I think some aspects of Jetpack are awesome. And since they've been, when I was with Elegant Marketplace 5 years, five, eight, 7 years ago, however long, we interviewed the main guy who was running Jetpack. And I've always loved Jetpack, but I haven't loved the bloat that it brings. So if you use certain things, the stats were great for clients that didn't want to be on Google Analytics. We've got to remember that Jetpack talks to itself as well back on the server. So we've got to think what's happening with that data. What data is WordPress, you know, or Jetpack giving to WordPress, et cetera, et cetera. But whenever I'm trying to think, and Kyle will know, what's the alternative to Google that is a stats plugin that charges per month?
I use Fathom Analytics.
Fathom Analytics. So this is, as far as I'm concerned, Kyle, this is Jetpack's answer to Fathom Analytics, right? So how much is Fathom Analytics a month?
I think like $14.
So it's double the price. So, you know, it's a direct, I think, a direct response to the success of Fathom, because Fathom are massively successful. I don't know, Wynn, whether you've used Fathom, have you?
Not yet.
They're just massively successful. They've just put loads of money into something or other. I mean, this is how successful they are. They stopped doing something on AWS. You know, we were talking about taking code out of something and saving greenery. Fathom took like a little bit of code out of their AWS server and saved $100,000 a month. That's how successful.
Good grief.
Good stuff. I mean, they're saving $1 million a year, you know, just by doing something that is better for them.
I'm in the wrong business. I'm in the wrong business.
So I think this is a direct reaction to other analytics plugins taking some of Google G Tags and Google's work and Jetpack commercial brain saying, we've been charging nothing for this. It's costing us an absolute arm and a leg. I know it's on our servers, but it's still costing us loads of money. Let's make some cash out of this and let's underprice the market. And I've got 5 clients that have said, yeah, I'm happy to pay for it because they don't want Google Analytics.
Anybody else? We're in a blind rush now. We're like a rush to the end.
No. Got 8 minutes.
Eight minutes. And all this content to go through. We'll have to spend some of it out. Yeah, you get on with it. Shut up, Brigley, and get on with it. Sorry, a bit of self-promotion. If you didn't know, me and David Walmsley have started this other podcast called The No Script Show, where we talk about modern web design. I can't even remember what. I've got this patter that I say at the beginning, and I've forgotten it all. But it's all about using HTML and CSS and CSS and JavaScript without a CMS behind it. It's kind of interesting. And we put an episode out about something called Baseline, this place where you can go to see what the bleeding edge of browser support is for different things in CSS. So we had an episode all about that. And honestly, I'm really enjoying that show. It is a lot of fun. So go listen to that.
That was a fun episode. I learned a ton. Appreciate that one.
Oh, nice. Yeah. David comes to me with all this stuff and I have to go, what? Each week, he is the driver behind all of this because it's now what he's doing in his business. He's decided to sort of more or less drop WordPress and he's building everything in a text editor, basically, you know, old school.
Yeah.
And he's really enjoying it and finding all sorts of interesting, an interesting community out there who are people who are just addicted to CSS and what it can do and what the browsers can do with it. And it's going to be a fun podcast, I think.
There's a chap out there called David Bloom that's building something. Yeah. I'll send you some stuff about what Dave Bloom's doing as well. You know, because it's interesting.
It Minimalist
design and code is where it's going to be at.
Right. I'm just trying to decide what we can do in the next moments that we've got left because we haven't got too much time. Let's go to this one. This is a big story this week. Back in the day when I started using WordPress, this Envato was my go-to source. I'd go there and I'd salivate over all the lovely themes and I'd buy them and then almost immediately realize, oh, that doesn't work in the way I was anticipating. But really popular, you know, ended up having this enormous marketplace of images, music, assets, that ended up with a subscription service where you could get everything, you know, if you paid your monthly fee. So if you're an Envato user, you might be interested to know that it has been acquired by I think they only do, imagery, Shutterstock, $245 million. I don't know if that's probably what they were worth a little while ago, but maybe it's a sort of shrinking business, not a growing business. But certainly back in the day, 10 years ago, this was massive. I feel like in the WordPress space, it was a total rival to the WordPress.org theme directory. And I know people who make healthy livings out of the Envato marketplaces. So anyway, there you go. If that concerns you, go check it out. Anybody want to add something to that?
They sold it too late.
Go on.
Should have sold it. They should have sold it 2 years ago.
You think this declining market kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a totally declining market. Yeah, because you've got all of these. You've got Cadence, you've got GeneratePress, you've got all of WordPress. Like every single WordPress host now is offering AI and pre-built templates. And I need to reach out to the guys that own BoldGrid, which is effectively owned by InMotion Hosting. Man, did they miss an opportunity with BoldGrid. It's just like, come on, guys. It was great. BoldGrid used to be great and give you a complete website and then you just rewrite the text. But just complete disinvestment in it, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a real shame that BoldGrid should be right up there with the Cadences of this world and the Generate Presses of this world. And it just isn't. And it's such a shame.
I'm going to guess that at some point we've all lurked a bit in the Envato marketplaces. If you've been, I don't know, maybe
100% have,
maybe yeah. If you're like only been using WordPress for 5 years, maybe not. But Bill, if you were there a little in the community before that, you were just addicted. It's like, okay. Anyway, that's that story. So if that concerns you, if you've got an account over there, an ongoing subscription, I think it's called the Envato something creative subscription or something like that, then you might want to go and check that out because it's going to change its branding. Okay, 26 minutes past. That's perfect. We will knock it on the head there. Before we do, is there anything that anybody wants to mention? Exciting thing that they're doing this week? An offer they want to promote? Whatever? Couple of minutes.
I do want to mention that we have extended the call for speakers for WordCamp US. It's in Portland, Oregon on September 15th and 16th, I believe. Yeah. So you have until midnight tonight. Is it midnight New York City time? Well, you've got some hours left to apply.
Yeah.
So get your application in.
Okay. Nice.
So are you an organizer for that, Wynn?
Yeah, I'm on the programming committee. It's second
year in a row. Anybody that is an organizer of any WordCamp. Cool.
I've got close to 300 applications to read through.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, everyone.
Wow. Wynn, you're a glutton for punishment. I think if I had 300 to go through, I wouldn't have mentioned a thing. that's more than
I did it last year and I signed up again. I knew what I was getting into.
That's great. Yeah, really? Hat tip. Thank you so much. Kyle, anything you want to say? Anything happening in the admin bar exciting this week?
Nothing. Just glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. That's your most well. I hope you can come back. Hopefully you can, ditch that meeting at some point in the near future and come back. Andrew, anything before we knock it on the head?
Oh, just if you are on Facebook and you can bear to use it, unlike Nathan, then get into the admin bar. And a little thing for me, just a little promo. If you search Bertha coupon code, you might find a secret little coupon code.
Because nice.
I did a little SEO trick because there's loads of people that are saying Bertha coupon code and they're all out of date. But my one isn't, and it's a real good deal. So there you
go. See Kyle's hands were Pavlovian. They went straight to the keyboard there and he was like, whoa. Yeah, nice. Okay, in that case, firstly, I'd like to thank my three panelists today, Kyle Van Dusen and Wynn. And Andrew Palmer. Really appreciate that. This will be coming out as an audio podcast tomorrow, 7 o'clock in the morning, UK time. Who knows why that is, but that's the way I decided to do it. But also, thank you so much to the people who made comments. Really appreciate it. We'll be back every week, more or less, this time and on Mondays, 2 p.m. UK time. The show is much better when there's lots of comments, and we had a fair few today. So really appreciate that. So sayonara, hasta la vista, and other words which mean goodbye. We'll see you next week.
Hands.
Oh.
Hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Wait a sec. I nearly hit the end record.
No, you got to make me the co-host. You owe me money.
You kind of like.
Wynn, I don't know if you know, but I do this. I humiliate everybody every week. We have to do our hands. If everybody's willing. Oh, everybody's so willing. That's so willing. That's great. Thank you very much. And then I have to scroll through the video frame by frame to find the one where we're the most smiley. And some weeks it's not. Okay. Thank you for saving my bacon there, Andrew. Really appreciate it. Take it easy.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.